That was what was appearing on the screen. Thank you. I thought she had taken your job, Miss Yoliswa. Honorable members, good morning. I noticed that all of you have logged in. We might have to start with this meeting. I must apologize profusely. Between myself and Ms. Machalamba, we should have considered that there are, I think, I don't know how many, quite a lot of by-elections in the country ever, that we have so many in one day. And they would wish to release you, and then you can quickly go and maybe still assist your party in work that is still to be done. Let me then welcome you and thank you all for coming in. And in my opening remarks, I wish to also send on behalf of us a congratulatory message to the minister. He was appointed the chairperson of the SADC E8. There's a program to eliminate malaria on the SADC countries, because it is only if those countries are successfully able to eliminate malaria that countries up there, in the middle of Sub-Saharan can then be able to reduce. We have to eliminate, they can reduce. So they cannot reduce unless we eliminate. I suspect this was like a finger pointing to Minister Mkhize to say, you are one of those countries who are in this midst, but we are aware you are doing well, because it's myself and Mam Hlengwa in KwaZulu-Natal, Lindy Wilson in Limpopo, and they were struggling with the provinces that have got malaria and Mpumalanga. It's just those three provinces in the country. But over the years, they have been doing fairly well, and we want to continue to encourage them to do well, because we really are able to eliminate malaria in our country if we just concentrate on those programs that are in place. With those honorable members, let me welcome you and then thank you for coming in, and wish to extend a warm welcome to all of you, and hope not to keep you very long here. Our AG also is probably logged in now to take us through the audit outcomes. You might notice that in the report that we received, we do not have audit outcome of provinces. I take that as a positive, because we might have to concentrate on just the national and the subsidy and those entities that report to national. We sometimes rush to look at provinces that are doing fairly badly compared to national, but there are certain issues again that we need to interrogate on this report about the national department, which can give us more space and time just to deal with them and then deal with the province in some other time. Maybe the AG will guide us as to when we can be able to get the audit outcomes of provinces. Ms. Machalamba, can you indicate the presence of honorable members and the apologies if you do have some?
Good morning and thank you, Chair. Present at the meeting is Dr. S. M. Dlomo, Mr. Munyai, Dr. Kyanji, Ms. Gela, Dr. Jacobs, Ms. Wilson, Ms. Chirwa, Dr. Thembe Kwayo, Mr. Van Staden. I've received an apology from Ms. Kwahube. She's running late because she's attending another meeting, but she will join in immediately when she's done with that meeting. And also Mr. Imam Sheikh won't be able to join the meeting because she's attending another portfolio committee meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Attending, Mr. Imam Sheikh is a he, okay, thank you. With those attendance and apologies noted, honorable members, let me then now give this slot to the AG, who I would wish to actually check that they also introduce themselves. But before that, may I check, is there anyone from the National Department of Health that has logged in?
Yes, Chair, Mr. Khatla is part of the meeting.
Okay, thank you, from the ministry. Thanks. Yes. Auditor General, let me then give this opportunity to you and introduce the team that you are with, and then do the presentation as you would wish to start.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. Morning, honorable members, and also members from Parliament and media. We really do appreciate the briefing for today. From my side, my name is Eugene Dehaan. I'm the Deputy Business Executive responsible for the National Health Department audit, and then also we're also responsible for overseeing the sector report in terms of health, which is a combination of all nine provinces. And then I will just hand over to Mr. Belos. You can just also introduce yourself so that you're aware.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Tapolo Sisinyani, the senior manager responsible for the audit of the National Department of Health.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry about that echo. It seems like we're trying to manage between the two of us. But yeah, now that you are aware of the team, the purpose of today's session is for us to give a briefing to the Portfolio Committee regarding the National Department of Health's audit outcomes, and they're also then supporting and capacitating the Portfolio Committee in terms of their oversight responsibility regarding the current year's audit of 1920 that was completed recently. We're just getting an indication if our presentation is reflecting.
Yes, it is showing well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. So from my side, we'll start with the presentation. So the purpose of the session is for the budgetary review and recommendations report. Like I mentioned, the BRRR session, we'll be looking at the specific audit outcomes for the year 1920. As you are aware, Auditor General, we have a mandate where we look at three different areas in terms of the department's outcomes. First of all, we'll look at the financial affairs, which is the financial statements. And we'll see whether or not that is presented in a fair manner. Then we also look at the performance information as such of the specific department, specifically relating to the annual performance plan, and then also how it links to the annual performance report. And then we also look at the compliance in terms of that governs the department and entities within that portfolio. We move on to the next slide, please. For the financial statements, we've got five different audit opinions. I'm sure the members are all aware of this. We've already presented this quite a number of times before, but I will just highlight it again. So basically, we have the green, which reflects an unqualified opinion with no findings. Then we've got the yellow, where it reflects a finding, unqualified with some material findings, specifically relating to compliance or performance information. Then we have the purple, which is a qualified opinion, the pink, which is a adverse opinion, and the red being a disclaimer of opinion. This slide just represents the specific legends. I will talk to each specific slide, but I will also explain them as we go through the presentation so that the members are also aware what they mean. Okay, then in terms of the accountability wheels, there's what we look at. We look at how the department have actually planned their specific performance that they want to do for the year. And we also look at as to how they are actually executing it, and also doing the checks and balances. And then what we also look at is in terms of the consequence management, is the department actually taking adequate consequence management? And I'm referring to department, but also referring to actual accounting authorities within the portfolio. And then we also look at the audit outcomes, and then we look at how all of these actually impacts the user and the lives of the citizen. So for the specific portfolio, what we looked at the national department, and you'll see there are six different entities under the national department, which is the Medical Research Council, the MRC. We also look at the CMS, the Council for Medical Science, and NDOH is the National Department of Health. NHLS is the National Health Laboratory Service. OHSC is the Occupational Health and Sector of Compliance. Then we look at the CCOD, and then we look at SAPRA, which is your pharmaceutical regulator. So as you can see, we've got three different years that we are reflecting in terms of audit outcomes. From right to left, you'll have 2017 going through to 2019-20. And what we are indicating here is to show the progress of the audit outcomes for the three different years. Again, we would just like to congratulate MRC for keeping a clean audit. As you can see, they are green there at the top on the left top side in terms of 1920. They maintain their clean audit status. Then you'll see OHSC regressed, and they mainly regressed due to some matters we identified in terms of performance information. There were some inadequate controls we identified regarding performance information. Then we also look at the MDOH, which have actually been stagnant for the last 3 years. You'll see that they've actually remained unqualified to some material findings, which we'll get into a bit more detail later in the presentation. Then you will also see NHLS. They've also remained the same for the last 2 years. And then we have the two audits that are still outstanding, the blue indicating audits that are still outstanding at the date of our presentation, which is CCOD and SAPRA. SAPRA has been finalized in the last week, but it was just not enough time for us to actually take it into account regarding the specific audit outcomes. For the Department of Health and NHLS, you will note that, again, we raised some issues regarding material adjustments. What this means is that the financial statements submitted to us were subject to material corrections, and only subsequent to the audit process, they would then receive an unqualified opinion due to us and due to them actually correcting those misstatements that we've identified. CMS, again, on CMS, we've identified this, they need to improve their controls regarding the supply chain process. And again, there were some issues regarding supply chain process that we noted, which also resulted in irregular expenditure. That has been the same from the prior, and it's something that they need to attend to going forward. But we'll get into a bit more detail in the presentation. So maybe just to give an update, I know there was, we usually do a presentation where we include the provincial audit outcomes also. In this, for this year, and due to the pandemic and all the challenges we've experienced during the audit process, unfortunately, we've not been able to finalize, as you can see, quite a number of the national, of the provincial departments. You'll see there's about four departments outstanding. If you look at the 1920 column, you'll see Western Cape, Northern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo currently being outstanding. And then we'll also notice that Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga was signed recently together with Free State. And then also the only one that was quite signed by the end of September was Gauteng and Northwest. So as you can see, there's quite a different picture to the prior. In the prior, we would have been done with these audits and we would have included the audit outcomes with maybe exception of one or two, but not with this amount of outstanding audits. So hence we then decided not to include the provincial audit outcomes. But what we will do is we'll request another engagement with the portfolio committee once we get all the audit outcomes, and then we'll come and present those provincial audit outcomes to the portfolio committee as well, as the so they can also be aware as what the sector looks like in totality. So from so just for the committee to take note, as we go along, this is only the national department and its entities audit outcomes. It does not reflect any of the specific provinces. So in this slide, what we are depicting here is to show that within the five entities that submitted, or the five institutions that submitted their financial statements, only three of them were subject to no material corrections. Two of them were subject to material corrections. Hence, what we're saying here is that we not have the audit process, then those two entities would have been qualified if that we did not correct them or identify those material corrections during the audit process. It then talks about the actual underlying records and information that goes into the financial statements not being 100%, providing 100% assurance to ensure financial statements that are free from material misstatements. Okay. Performance report from our review. What we also identified here is that there was one entity that due to the material corrections that we have identified, we then noted that they had to go and correct their performance report, and hence we then found that the fact that they then corrected it, and then they moved to have a performance report from material, free from material mistakes. You'll see that what we identified is we raised some findings on NDOH and OHSC regarding the reliability of the information. What this means is that when we started actually verifying the actual numbers in the annual performance report, we could not actually determine some of the information that goes in, and to actually confirm the accuracy and completeness of some of the achievements, which were then subsequently corrected during the audit process, which then resulted in them having a performance report that is also accurate and complete. Okay, regarding the compliance of legislation, so as you can see from the 2 years from 1819 to 1920, there are two entities that remain the same, so MRC and OHSC. From their side, they remained with no material findings on compliance areas. But then if you look at CMS, NDOH, and NHLS, there were some material non-compliance findings we identified. So for CMS and NHLS, what we identified was there was a management of the procurement of contracts in terms of the SCM process. There was some non-compliance we identified regarding that. For the quality of the financial statements, being the submission of the financial statements, like I mentioned earlier, we identified some of the financial statements for NDOH and NHLS were subject to material corrections. And then we also identified the third one was then on expenditure management, which then constitutes a regular expenditure. We identified there was some regular expenditure incurred by CMS and NHLS, which would then cause them to also have non-compliance findings on expenditure management. The status of internal controls. What we're mentioning here is that there are three key areas of internal controls that all entities or departments need to comply with or need to have to ensure effective assurance being provided. And it's broken down in terms of leadership, financial performance management, and governance. So what we identified is for all the entities, for NDOH, NHLS, and MRC, we have identified that do have effective leadership. It's more regarding your daily controls in terms of your financial performance management for NDOH and NHLS, where we've identified there's some areas of concern that management needs to address. This also comes out in the fact that those financial statements were subject to material corrections. So if they are able to actually ensure that the daily controls and checks and balances and the proper record keeping are addressed and also are being attended to, that should then resolve the issues regarding the financial statements and should also then move them to be a bit better audit outcomes. So in terms of the assurance provider, so what we do in the office, we've got three levels of assurance. The first level of assurance is your senior management accounting authority and executive authority, and they give assurance to your second level, which is your internal audit and audit committee. And then ultimately, those two levels will give assurance through to the portfolio committee, which we're not reflecting here at this point in time. But what we've identified is that, and this goes back to the previous slide in terms of the daily controls and the checks and balances that are not being done, those are senior management functions. And what we've identified with those functions not being done, the senior management of NDOH, NHLS, and MRC are actually not providing 100% assurance through to the accounting officer and accounting authority. And then what we also identified for NDOH and NHLS is that the accounting authority or the accounting officer is also not ensuring that those, the senior managers are actually then addressing those internal controls to provide him or the authority with adequate assurance. So therefore, hence we've then identified there's some work to be done. There's some work to be done in terms of senior management and also for the accounting officer for NDOH and authority for NHLS for them to ensure that those daily controls are being implemented and are adequate so that senior management can provide assurance through to the accounting authority and et cetera. Then we look at the financial and health management. So what we're looking at here is the irregular expenditure. What you will notice is that we've got the dark blue, which is the 1920 irregular expenditure. Then we have the lighter blue, which is the 1819 expenditure. And you will notice there's quite a significant increase from the 37 million to the 69 million. And this is mainly relating to NDOH. And the nature of the irregular expenditure, what we identified, is due to procurement processes not followed NDOH. We also noted there were some rates that were charged above the National Treasury threshold. We also noticed there was some extension of scope. It was over and above the 15%, and this was specifically to CMS, as what is instructed by National Treasury. And then we also noticed some expired contracts on NHLS, that there were expenditure incurred in terms of expired contracts. So one of the main root causes that we identified with the irregular expenditure is the fact that these the department and the entities do have a supply chain unit, but what we will find is the end user department or the end user who's actually doing the procurement is not going through the specific supply chain unit within the department or within these entities, and therefore they're not applying the necessary skills and expertise to make sure they comply with these specific regulations, and therefore they are then incurring irregular expenditure. We have discussed this with the accounting officer. We've also discussed this with the CFO, so they are aware of it. So we really hope they can start addressing these issues going forward, but those are one of the main root causes we've identified specifically within NDOH. Then towards the right hand bottom of the slide, you'll see what we're also reflecting there is that the irregular expenditure from the previous year, is it being investigated or not? From our assessment, we couldn't determine that the irregular expenditure of CMS, NHLS, and NDOH are being investigated. One thing that we just noticed is the fact that some of these investigations are taking some time to actually be addressed. We have made the CFO and accounting officer aware of it. And there is no specific legislation that gives you a time frame as to what is the time frame it should be addressed. But we have noticed that some of the investigations are carrying over from year on year. So therefore, we have just brought it to the attention of the accounting officer to see if they can't intervene into trying to actually close some of these investigations and move forward in terms of the consequence management that is required. So this is a detailed breakdown of the irregular expenditure for the last 3 years for the whole portfolio. As you will notice, is that for 1819, the NDOH being national department, as I mentioned, increased quite significantly from 16.8 million to 54 million. And this being the main reason being, again, like I mentioned, end user department actually not consulting the SCM unit, and therefore not complying with the necessary regulations. One thing we do need to commend is NHLS. As you will notice there in 2017-18, they've done quite a lot of work trying to clean up the irregular expenditure, where they've moved from 2.5 billion through to 18-19 to 3 million, and now in 19-20 to 776,000. So we do commend NHLS in that regard, and that's also due to the fact that they have actually made it a priority to actually review all supply chain matters, not only with the CFO, but also through to the CEO and the board. So we do want to just highlight that there's some good work that has been done there by NHLS. I'm currently with SACPRA. It's still outstanding at the moment as at that point in time, and then also CCOD. Regarding CCOD, maybe to give a bit of background, it's a backlog audit, so currently we are busy with the 17-18 financial year audit. They have submitted to us from 14-15, which we have done and we have reviewed. We're busy now finalizing those audits. We'll also be finalizing 17-18 in the next couple of months and towards the beginning of next year, and then we also move towards 18-19. We are busy in consultation with them continuously, and they are working with us. It's just that there was quite a number of issues that we had to address. But yeah, so we hopefully next year we can catch up on CCOD and start also reporting them as part of the portfolio. Sorry. Okay. Supply chain management. So like I mentioned earlier, the supply chain management, if you look at this slide, it talks about what's the most common SCM findings. Again, procurement process not followed by NDOH. competitor not advertised for the required minimum days, failed to declare interest. So again, you'll see the same entities being year on year not complying. So this is definitely something we've highlighted to the specific accounting officers and authorities. This is just a snapshot of the portfolio. I'm going to move on to the next slide. So regarding the root causes, so there are three main root causes we've identified for the portfolio. One of the root causes being the slow response to improving key controls. Again, what we're highlighting here is the fact that there are really a, and this portfolio is not a complex portfolio. It's not a a very difficult portfolio. And what we've identified is that there are a few internal controls that management really need to address. And being the senior management level in terms of the actual daily controls, and also the checks and balances and the proper record keeping, that can really move this portfolio to a clean portfolio. But we've also identified that for the last 3 years, this portfolio has been quite stagnant. There are small quick wins that the portfolio can do to actually move this portfolio into a clean situation. So overall, we do find that it's the normal transgressors going through year on year. And therefore, we are then highlighting the fact to say that there's some slow response or no response from management in improving some key controls. Yet we do know that one of the key things that the National Department of Health can do is to really start reviewing their financial statements process and just look at as to what are the small internal controls they need to ensure proper record keeping, and then also some of the material corrections that were made to try and resolve that. So those are one of the root causes we've identified. Then another root cause is also inadequate consequences for poor management. We've also identified that not all the officials are always held accountable, where there are some poor performance management and transgressions happening. And then what we've also identified for CMS and OHSC is the instability or vacancies in key positions. So those are the three key root causes we've identified within this portfolio. And this is what is actually holding the portfolio back for them to move to a clean portfolio, which is definitely something that this portfolio can obtain. Yeah. Okay, then some recommendations from our side. So the department entities obviously exercise oversight controls, oversight responsibility regarding the financial performance management. Like I mentioned earlier, that's some of the recommendations that the department entities can really look at. Then also what we really want to emphasize is this, what management should do. And that is the three key areas is for to ensure that they implement proper record keeping, also talks to the complete financial reporting and performance reporting, and also reviewing the compliance. Those are the three key areas. We've also made some suggestions to the portfolio committee, with one being that the portfolio committee regularly asks the department and some of these entities to come and present their irregular expenditure registers, and also what actions are the accounting officers and accounting authorities taking with this irregular expenditure, and are they actually concluding on the investigations, and are they actually holding those who should be held accountable? I think that is one of the key things that we want to highlight in terms of our recommendations for today. So these are some of the additional efforts from our side that we've always tried to maintain, and that is one of them being the status of record review. We've also been doing some roadshows and then also frequent engagements with oversight, with yourselves, and then also with the chair, where we try and also present our views and audit outcomes regarding the specific portfolios. Okay, then in terms of the preventative controls, so there was a guide issued by the Auditor General in terms of the preventative controls. This was more or less in September this year, where he presented there are some specific areas of preventative controls that departments and entities and also those charged with governance should be aware of and should actually be reviewing on a regular basis to try and actually rather be preventative than to be reactive in addressing some of the audit outcomes, and also just in general, the overall your performance information outcomes, and also the service delivery. Go to the next one. So in this guide, you will find there's quite a number of chapters. And what we found was just to make the portfolio committee aware of this guide, because it can also be useful to the portfolio committee for yourselves to be capacitated in this regard, to read through the guide and also understand what are some of the key requirements that that some of the accounting officers and also these accounting authorities need to actually monitor and actually implement going forward to ensure that the audit outcomes improve. Some of the things we've identified is in the guide is the importance of the preventative controls, also the tone and control and culture, and the institutional internal controls, which highlights in terms of what are basic institutional internal controls that should be in a clean or a good government entity or department. And then we also highlighted just three of the key areas that we also always find most of our findings coming from, which is the procurement of services, the preparation of financial statements, and asset management. Those are the things just for the portfolio committee to take note of. And then maybe just also just be aware that there are these guides available that can really improve the accounting officer's oversight responsibilities. Then again, what is included in the guide, like I mentioned earlier, is the controls for governing officers and authorities should implement. It gives indication to the portfolio committee what should be there. The questions, oversight, structures, and executive authorities could ask to obtain assurance why is important and applicable legislation. So just in a nutshell, explaining as to what the guides can be used for. I think that's it from our side. Thank you very much, Chair. We'll take some questions. In this regard, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Eugene and Ms. Tapelo, for the presentation. I've noted the hands of the members who would like to ask, but may I request that while you are doing that, honorable members, please do look into your WhatsApp. The secretary of the portfolio committee has sent you a link and a questionnaire to fill in that has been requested by the AG. And it has already been sent to all of us. If maybe while we are doing that, if you have any challenge, ask Ms. Machalamba how to, it's easy to open it. And then it's got about 7 questions that needs your attention. Thank you very much. The members that have indicated their wish to ask and comment are the following. The first one would be Honorable Van Staden, followed by number 2, Honorable Chirwa, and number three will be Honorable Wilson, number 4 will be Honorable Dr. Jacobs, number 5, Honorable Dr. Pumza, number 6, Honorable Dr. Tembekwayo. Or number 7 will then be Honorable Anna Geller. Let me have it in that order. If honorable members can start with their fans, start and then you follow each other in that flow. Thanks.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Ek waardeer die geleentheid wat u vir my gegee het vanoggend. Honorable Chairperson, I just want to look at, on my side it's slide 16, I think it's slide 17 on the Auditor General side. Just a comment from me on this one. The 69 million irregular expenditure in 2019-20 due to non-compliance, I think we must, when the department come to us, we must have a serious talk with them because of procurement process not followed. This is the increase from 2018-19 till 2019-20 of 32 million rand, if I'm correct, if the AG can just assist me there. But this is a huge jump in this regular expenditure. The department must need to come and explain what is going on, yeah? Because this can't carry on like this. And then on slide, I just want to go to slide 17. I think it's the AG slide 18. The detailed irregular expenditure incurred by entities in this portfolio. I just want to ask the AG if it's possible, if we can get a a more detailed breakdown of every entity in this department's irregular expenditure for 2019-20, if you understand what I mean. So, for instance, the Department of Health, 54 million, but this was the transactions which are talking about it, if it's possible. I think it will help us very much. And what worries me is that, oh, and the other question I want to ask of it, and it worries me a lot, is it correct if I'm saying that when all these entities and the department deviate from the standard supply chain management process? If I just can assist me there. And here, then, on my slide, I just want to handle my computer here also. Okay. On my slide 20, I think it's for AG slide 21, the remark was being made here, and I quote, do not respond with required urgency to our messages about addressing risk and improving internal control. Chairperson, this, in my view, is totally unacceptable, and there must be consequences. You remember last year we had the same problem. The AG came to us, to the Sports Portfolio Committee, and he addressed the same problem as we're seeing here today. It seems like the problem in this department doesn't get any attention. So, and then the other remark was made here, and I quote, officials who deliberately or negligently ignore their duties and contravene legislation are not held accountable for their actions. What is going on? This department can't carry on like this. Chairperson, no. I think we need to lay in the whip in this department, because the Department of Health on national level carry on like this. How is this going in what is happening in each of the 9 provinces? Sorry, Chair, this is totally unacceptable. This is a very worrying situation. And we need to get the department ASAP to come and explain on these matters. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm the second one on the list. Firstly, thank you to the team for this presentation. I think we've stated many times that it's a very important work that you guys do, and we appreciate it because it allows us room to hold the entities and Department of Health accountable for the things they do. I just have a slight dissatisfaction with the report. I think we can attempt to go a little bit much more further, because from where I'm sitting at, everything looks particularly vague, especially on issues of legislation being disregarded, management issues. I think the report can go much further to assist us in doing oversight properly and accurately and effectively, most importantly, because the NGOH will come before us and the entities will come before us, and they'll be able to worm their way out of these things, because there isn't peculiar incidences. There aren't peculiar situations that we note besides being tipped off. Like, for instance, I'm particularly concerned about CMS. Because there was an issue, a particular issue brought to my attention, that there's a young Black woman who is barred from being nominated on being on the Board of Council because she received a bouquet of flowers. And I think that contributes to issues of management issues of the CMS. And I think it's across the board in the entities, really. But if AXA can just go a little bit, a step further in outlining what the problems are, who is involved or which office is involved in this particular problem, when did the issue start, influenced by what, it will make our job, and together with the AG, much more effective in ensuring that these issues are resolved, because otherwise it just remains something that we raise but don't have tangible information or inside information that we can't get from the entities, because they're also protecting themselves and we're not getting enough information from AXA as well, so as to ensure that effective oversight is done by the committee. So I'll just ask for the ways in which, in future, for future reference, the ways in which AXA can expand their reports, firstly, and if the things I'm bringing forth to the floor are viable, like for instance, if you say legislation was disregarded, which legislation, in which particular incident, in which province or in which office was this legislation overlooked or disregarded? Also the issue of no consequence, I think it goes back to the fact that nobody takes control or nobody takes accountability, because there isn't enough pressure to take accountability for how things are run, especially at management level. So yeah, that is my comment. And also just to get a response from ACTS on how they can expand their reports when they bring them to the committee, so as to strengthen our oversight as well. Which ways can you strengthen beyond just what I perceive to be pretty much a little bit vague and not substantial enough for us to carry it through? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Wilson. Honorable Wilson. Press a mute button. You don't have something like that there. Okay, we'll come back to you, Honorable Wilson. Let's go to Dr. Jacobs.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think just on Honorable Wilson, she needs to exit and come in again. Sometimes it does happen for her to then rejoin again. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and thank you for the presentation by the Auditor General. I want to talk on slide 13. And it speaks to the status of internal control. Now, internal control, of course, is something that you have authority over and something that you got, that which you can do something about. In terms of effective leadership, the department and the entities seem to be doing very well. But where they're lacking is the financial and performance management and governance. So it is quite worrisome that I see under where it is lacking is the department, it's NHLS. I do not see the other entities. We, of course, recognize the MRC as doing very well consistently year after year, and even in terms of their record keeping, daily and monthly controls, review and monitor compliance. So I'd like to maybe latch on with what Shirwa was saying. If the Auditor General give us maybe a better insight into where the challenges are exactly within the department and within NHLS and any other entities. We also notice SAPRA having redress to a poorer outcome in terms of the audits. And then also on slide 17, I also want to maybe talk to it, and Honorable Van Staden had spoken about it, where 77% of the irregularity relates to the NDOH. And then the nature is even explained there to us what the nature of those are, like procurement processes not followed, rates above the national treasury's threshold, etc. Maybe next time around, for us to get a better understanding of exactly where the challenges are, I want to also reiterate that the AG should come and give us those explanations. And then obviously, we would be doing ourselves in terms of raising the necessary questions to the department and to the entities with regards to these outcomes. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Let's try Honorable Wilson and see if you are now able to speak to us and not the voice coming through. Okay, maybe she's still logging in. Honorable Dr. Tanji, you come through.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Let me greet all the members and appreciate the report from AG. I guess, Chairperson, most of the things that one would have wanted to talk to have been spoken to by the honorable members, but I would really want to talk to the I think the slide that talks to 16 or 17, I'm not sure, to irregular expenditure. I know that we still have the department to come and explain to us some of the areas. But this is really worrying because this is what we have been humming on ever since we came into this portfolio committee. And there's another slide where I think Dr. Jacobs did speak to the slide that talks to the slide that talks to consequences, the slide that talked to financial and performance management. It is really worrying that you find that the department is really what the what to call the AGs has got a concern about. And maybe we'll get a better explanation on why, on what is really going on. But the last question I would like to ask from the AG is, what happened to the law that gave them teeth to bite where there are problems, particularly of stagnation? Because for the past 3 years, there has been this, and the consequence management, they are also complaining about. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Dr. Thembi Kwayo, Honorable Wilson, just chip in whenever you are able to, I can hear your voice, then I will know that you are now ready to come in after any member that will just interrupt, will accept that interruption so that you can indicate your availability then. But for now, Honorable Dr. Thembi Kwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the AG's presentation. I think my points have already been reiterated by the honorable members that spoke before me, but I just would like to ask the AG whether it's possible for them, when they come to present, make a presentation on the ones that are outstanding, maybe to also come and present on the improvements that maybe may be done by these entities. Say for an example, they made a mention of CMC and the other entities which are supposed to improve their control, specifically on the supply chain management processes, to ensure that it's in regular, it's in line with the treasury regulations. And I'm also so much disappointed to say, if the ND, the National Department of Health, can be the leader of the irregular expenditure for 2019-2020 year, what about the other entities, and what about the provinces? Because we cannot expect, we do not in actual fact expect the National Department. Can you hear me? Am I audible?
You are coming in, but very difficult now towards this last part.
Okay, and then what about now? Am I audible? Because it's just the last one.
Yeah, you are okay now, yes.
Yes, I just want to find out whether it's possible that the AG, when they come and do the presentation of the outstanding entities, that they can give us maybe an improvement on these entities that are not doing well in general, specifically also in the those entities that consist of vacancies, you know, the vacancies that are never filled. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Wilson, I see you are back now, and we can give you now this opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure where the sound went. I've now linked up on another system. Chair, I think as one of the older serving members of this portfolio, there is I am quite genuinely concerned about the situation. And I'm genuinely concerned about the situation in that in real terms, we're not seeing any improvements whatsoever. If I look at page 9, of the AG's report, it says no improvements. In other words, no lift up. We've got one regression. We've got four that are staying in the same sorry state. And I am concerned about the fact that CCOD and SAPRA are not included here. Now, I know that the CCOD has had a problem, and I accept that. The fact remains is we're still trying to get, I think, if I'm correct in saying it's 16, 17 still done, and we're going into 19, yeah, into 2021. And this is very concerning because we have no genuine or real feel about exactly what the situation is there. I'm not sure why SAPRA is not included, but I'm obviously disturbed about that because I feel that there was no explanation given to us, and I think we need to understand why SAPRA is not included in this presentation. But I think my biggest concerns are, and I think they come from page 13, particularly as far as the CMS, the NHLS, and the NDOH are concerned, that and this comes up year on year, time after time, that this procurement management is not being followed, the SEM processes are not being followed. In the light of the current situation in South Africa, where corruption has now been proven to be so rife, this is very concerning because 90% of the corruption that we are seeing at the moment is through failure of officials not to follow or to deliberately divert around SEM processes and ignore them. And the fact that the AG commented on a couple of departments where they had to go back because and make material adjustments in order to correct the reports is concerning. And it tells me that perhaps in the NDOH and the NHLS, we don't have the right financial expertise or senior managers in position, because anybody at that level year on year should be now knowing very clearly exactly how statements should be done, how they are measured, what it must be in there. And then there should be no material misstatements that have to be corrected. I find that alarming. And of course, with CMS and NHLS, the expenditure management is always concerning. You know, when you're avoiding doing processes correctly, when you're diverting processes, where you're making decisions that you don't have to, that you're not equipped to make decisions for, you are again opening the door to pointing fingers of corruption. I am desperately, desperately concerned, AG. Please, Eugene and your team. The fact that every single province's reports are outstanding just blows my mind. We're in a critical time. We're facing a fiscal cliff in this country, and we have no idea whatsoever what is happening in those reports or in the provincial departments. And this is where a lot of the problems with the Department of Health have started. And I think we need to finalize those very quickly. And what I would really like to see, AG, if you can, and if you can do it today, sorry, Chair, you're still there. I've got a call coming in here. I'm doing this on my phone. I'm very concerned, Chair, about that situation with regards to the provincial audit outcomes. This is where a lot of our problems have started, and it really is a huge issue for me. And I think what we're seeing is time on time now, the non-compliance with SCM processes, inaccurate reporting, the irregular expenditure blows my mind, particularly as the bulk of the increase comes from the NDOH. And I think we need an explanation as to exactly where that came from and why. And then, of course, you have your recommendations, as we do. These recommendations are literally unchanged since I've been on this portfolio for 4 years. We write a report to the department, we report on this, we ask for information on it, it never comes. Next year we see no improvements. And Chair, I am asking you that if we have to have a quarterly report now from the NDOH and every department in order to find what they've addressed or how they've addressed this, this is what it must be done. Because that is our job as a portfolio committee, is to oversight the successes as well as the failings. And right now there are more failings than there are successes. And I ask, please, Chair, that we take these reports. It's not a tick box exercise. We can't say, yes, we agree to the report and then nothing is done to follow that report up. So I ask Chair, please, that we follow this up on a quarterly basis and make sure that improvements are made. Otherwise, I think my colleagues ahead of me have covered my concerns. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much for improvising and using the other gadget to make us again, this valuable inputs from you. Honorable El Anakela is the next one.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the report from the AG. Chairperson, most of the questions that I wanted to ask has been asked by Dr. Jacob, but also our concern, it's on slide 16. Where it talk about irregular expenditure and which there were no proper procedures were followed in terms of procurement. But also, Chairperson, the other issue is about the, on the same slide, Chairperson, that the previous year irregular expenditure reported for investigation, which for 2019-2020, the investigation was done, but on 2018-2019, not investigated. I just want to check with the AG why it was not investigated. The other issue is the issue of the provinces that did not submit to the AG. I just want to check whether did the AG give them a time frame, because already they are late for their submissions, for how long actually? That would be my submission. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, our last contribution comes from Honorable Chili.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Munyai, hold on. I noticed that Honorable Kwakhube has now logged in. Do you want to ask a question, Honorable Kwakhube?
Hi, Chair. No. Thank you. I've just recently joined.
Okay. Honorable Munyai, continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for this opportunity to bring the AG here to bring us on board on the state of affairs with respect to audit of all the departments, provinces, and entities. I think we need to appreciate their work. One key issue, I think, first and foremost, there's no older and young members here. We've been elected in this sixth administration. We are all equal, so we should look at the work of the Auditor General in the same lenses. But one key issue that I want to raise is that, look, honorable members should not forget that we had COVID-19, which really disrupted a lot of work and access for people. I can confirm, Honorable Chair, that with respect to SAPRA, we know that they used to work from the Civitas building and it was full of water. No access of documents were available. So it was, you know, I think we'll promote and advise that all entities and departments should really consider digitization of the information such that if such a risk of the papers could not be found, they should have at least backup of such a system. So we know that it was not out of their own makings. So therefore, I think this chapter, this audit, it's not the end of the process, it's the beginning of a new chapter post the COVID-19, such that all the issues that are really outstanding and so on. And I think where the reasons are not really understandable, that's where we can be able to really indicate. But I know COVID has really made a very negative impact to the work of the audit as well. Not even the auditors were able to access the Civitas building. So those are some of the issues, Honorable Chair. But I think given those dynamics of the COVID, organizations are trying to work better. They're trying to do work in the right directions. And I think we need to support them to improve more and more. But where the public funds has just really been simply abused, there should be consequence management, you know, and the investigation should not be endless. And I think this gives us an opportunity to be able to bring in the department ready and clear what are the challenges are and the entities respectively. So I'm very excited about this report because it doesn't give us confusion. It clarifies us where the state of the audit is within the Department of Health and the entities, as well as the provinces. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Just to add on some few other issues that you also have raised on, and I want Eugene to come back to already clarify members and also include me there. You are saying, and it is an observation, though you have shown us the three financial years, that the Department of Health seems to be stagnant. It's not improving. It's like a child who has reached puberty and is saying, I'm not going any further. We don't seem to be seeing an improvement on that. And Mr. Khatla, I would have wished that our CFO or Renee were here. Not that I undermine your capacity to take notes, but they were not necessarily going to answer. They were going to note it, but we'll note them on their behalf. Eugene further says, the Department of Health sent in their report. In that report, if the AG did not intervene to submit back to the department and say, please make corrections here, they would have moved from this unqualified to a qualified. Now, that's a concern because we are urging the department to move from unqualified to the clean. So it means the first presentation of the department to the AG was not putting them at the level of getting a straight unqualified audit report. It needed them to be jacked up. It needed that process. Eugene, if maybe you can flash back your presentation and show if we are still having it on the slide number 14 and 16, starting with number 14, if it is possible. In that report, you are saying you are comfortable and you are happy as an AG with your interaction with the executive authority. You do have a challenge somehow with the senior management. You were in the right slide there where you were. Yes, you are having, that is like slide number 14. You say you have a bit of a challenge. You don't have a challenge in the leadership, effective leadership, maybe move. And then you do have a challenge of proper record keeping. Now that's my major worry, that if the National Department of Health would have a challenge to keep their records properly, it probably talks to what the Honorable Munyai was saying. When are we going to go electronic? What type of records are these that are disappearing or missing? And therefore, if we are going to have this challenge not being corrected, which we are aware of it, but I thought this was going to be only in the provinces. Now, if you are saying the National Development Authority has got challenges even at that level, then there is a big problem, because you can't correct your child to say, stop smoking, if you are also still a smoker. You have to have other things. You can't say, walk properly, and you continue walking like a crab. So let us get to know, and I'm glad, I mean, I think it was a good situation that we are looking at the Department of Health nationally only, without getting the provinces here now, because it would have clouded this issue, would have overlooked this one. Record keeping. Slide number 15. Honorable, the next one, sir. You are saying here you do not have a challenge with the executive authority in the first level. You are 100% happy with the Department of Health at the level of the executive authority. But you are saying somehow there's a concern. You would wish that you can provide some assurance from the accounting officer and senior management. That's good and bad, meaning that it's good that you are taken seriously by the minister and the deputy minister, if that is what he's referring to, but you are saying they are observing some challenges at the senior level. Maybe if you could then expand what you mean by that. The next slide, number 16. No, that's fine. No, that's not okay. So I would want also to help us with the department. No, it's fine now with the slides. If the department maybe is able to learn lessons, I mean, it's very fortunate for this department is leading one of the entities that is doing fairly well, MRC, for over years. Would it not really benefit the department to sit with the people who are handling these issues in the MRC to learn from them? I mean, it's a resource around the corner that may be able to assist them. I just thought maybe I want you to raise that thing that you are saying, your observation that this department has got quick wins. If they can be able to concentrate and do well on internal controls and do well on 1, 2, 3, 4, this department will soon be moving into a better situation than what it is. Are you sharing that with them? Because you are sharing it with us. As Honorable Wilson is saying, we need to be able to communicate strongly with the department in terms of what is this that they are not really able to, because they are just at that level where they can just do two or three things easily and move out and get to be on a clean audit. Maybe let's get your comments, Ms. Tapelo and Eugene, on these issues. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member, for all the questions. We'll be addressing the questions. Obviously, I think some of the questions will need to be directed to the department as well and its entities in that regard. But we'll address whatever we can, which is directed to us. I'll also hand over to Tabelo, if she, because she's also got a bit more detail than what I have in terms of the actual detail as required. But I think let me start by indicating. So one of the questions was that are they deviating from the processes? And I think one thing we need to be clear about what the irregular expenditure means is that they, in your supply chain management processes, you can deviate if it's properly motivated. And that's not what we're saying. What we're actually saying is that they did not comply with the specific legislation. I think that's one thing that should be noted, is that it's not that they're deviating, that they actually did not comply with the specific legislation, as what we mentioned. I think we refer to slide 19 and 16 specifically, where we give a bit more detail in terms of the specific procurement processes and also the requirements from Treasury. So hence, therefore, it's the then results in irregular expenditure. So I think we'll just be specific in that regard. Regarding Honourable Ms. Naledi's questions on the more detail, I think one thing that the Portfolio Committee can do is they can always request the management reports from these different entities and departments to get the specific detail, because in the management reports, which is not something that we make public knowledge, is the specific detail of the findings and also management's response to it, and also our overall auditor's conclusion. But I think also going forward, what we can do in the future is we can share these slides with the chair, with the committee up front, and then you can always provide us with some, let's say, where you feel that we need to provide more clarity. We can then always update the slides before the actual presentation, so that we can then be sure when we come to the presentation, we provide the necessary detail as to what the portfolio committee needs and requires in order for them to execute their oversight responsibility. So that's definitely something we can do in that regard, and we welcome that. Regarding the PAA, so I think one of the questions that Honorable Dr. Punza asked was the specific where is our teeth? So I think in that regard, one thing that we did do is, yes, the department has been scoping for our new Public Audit Act amendments. We did review the process, and one thing we did, so in the regular expenditure we reviewed, we could not identify any losses. So one of the key requirements in definition for material regularity is not only the non-compliance, but also you need to link it to a specific loss or a potential loss to the department. So in that regard, we could not fulfill the definition of the actual material irregularity. So hence, we did not identify any material irregularities for this specific cycle. But one thing that should be noted is an ongoing process. It's something we do, and we will audit going into the future as well. So it's something we'll definitely look at going forward. Then one of the questions was on SAPRA. So the reason why we didn't include SAPRA is because they haven't tabled yet. But I will just give Tabelo also a chance when she gets the floor to also give a bit more details as to what is the real or not, or what is the root causes for them actually finalizing late. Okay. Then in terms of the time frame for the provinces, so yes, I think one of the members did highlight the fact of the impact of the pandemic, and yes, it had quite a ripple effect, not only, let's say, in terms of the department executing its responsibilities, but also in terms of availability of key staff, and that also then impacted the audit process, and hence we also see the various departments also finalizing some of their audits late. So I think one of the things we need to take note of is that when we do our audits, obviously there are certain people that we do that we require to finalize some of the management comments and to also finalize some of these audit processes. And that what we identified is then that some of these key individuals were not available due to them actually addressing some of the key requirements from the pandemic. So hence, a lot of the provincial departments are finalizing late. From our side, we are keeping a close eye on it. We are trying to push them to finalize as quickly as possible. So we are keeping, we are monitoring them throughout. It would be a bit premature for me to give an exact indication as to when we will be done. And I think it all depends on the audit process to be followed, and also just to ensure that it's still a fair audit process that we're going through. But yes, it's like we highlighted on the slide, There are four provinces that are still outstanding, and then there are those ones that finalized quite late. But yeah, it is one of the challenges that we've all experienced in this regard. Then maybe just to mention, so even with us at National Department of Health, one of the members mentioned the fact that the Civitas building was closed. It was a real challenge for us. So what happened within the National Department of Health, they had some flooding within the department, and they had to close the actual administrative building where most of the records were kept. So this really delayed our audit process of about 6 weeks, and they had to come and do some reconstruction, as what was also happening was that some of the labor unions were then also engaging the Department of Labor, and they closed the building for all staff. So that really delayed the audit process from our side. That also had a ripple effect in terms of SAPRA, because SAPRA was also relying on some of the performance information coming from the department. But at the end of the day, we managed to finalize the audit by end of October, which was 1 month later than the legislated timeframe given from Treasury. But yeah, it did come with a lot of challenges, and we had to intervene and really ask for help from management quite regularly. So it was quite a challenging audit this year that we experienced. Then in terms of slide 14 and 15, the Honorable Chair, you were referring to the internal control environment and the level of assurance. I think one thing that we need to take note of in terms of the level of assurance is that we assess that level of assurance based on the requirements in terms of the PFMA. So your executive authority has got a very oversight function in terms of the department. It's more your accounting officer, your DG, that actually needs to account for all the financial and performance affairs of the department. Hence, he's got a lot more, or she's got a lot more responsibility in that regard to actually ensure that the department provides accurate and complete information and reporting, hence also then to ensure compliance with legislation and the annual performance reporting and the financials. So therefore, they will see then also, that's why we're also highlighting that if your senior management is actually not providing the necessary assurance to the accounting officer or to the DG, then there's quite a lot of implications. And that's why you will see there's quite a disjointure between the executive authority and the accounting officer, because the executive authority's responsibilities towards the department is more of an oversight function, not so much of an executive function as in terms of the director general. But I think let me hand over to Mr. Tabello, just to explain some of the more detailed questions that we also picked up in that regard, and then I will then, once she's done, I can then take any further questions that we might have missed or any further clarity that might be needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I will go through some of the questions that were asked that the Eugene did not go through. I think before I continue, I would also want to acknowledge the business executive of the National D. He joined slightly late, Mr. Andrew Sikheto. So I thought I should mention that he's also in the meeting. A number of questions were addressed by Eugene, but I also wanted to highlight some of the questions that were, the detail of some of the questions that we're asking. I'm going to start with the CCOD one. There was a member that asked about CCOD. So with CCOD, we had a slight, they did submit their financial statements. We had a slight consultation that delayed. However, as of today, 14, 15, and 15, 16, and 16, 17 are very close to finalization. We are just receiving a few documents, and they should be ready to be signed off, and then they can table. 17, 18 is the audit that is currently underway. It's also at the conclusion stage, and the management has also indicated that 18, 19 financial statements are ready for audit. So from that point of view, they are catching up, and whenever they are done and we have signed, they should be able to come to the committee to table their annual reports. With SAPRA, Eugene indicated earlier, some of the delays that implicated SAPRA. SAPRA was only signed on the 1st of November from our side, and our understanding is that they have been tabled. But the one thing that delayed as well is that some of the documents that they have in their financial statements is kept at the National Department of Health. So with the incident that took place of the flooding, they were impacted in some of the line item, the financial statement, and therefore their audit was subsequently impacted as well. However, we managed to sign on the 1st of November, and our understanding is that because they've been tabled, we couldn't include this on the slides. When they do table and we come back to present the outstanding audit, we will include the outcomes of SAPRA. There was also a point about investigation of prior irregular expenditure. In our presentation, we did highlight the fact that the irregular expenditure in prior years, the investigations are initiated, but the concerns that we're picking up is that they are not concluded. And because of that, the perpetrators are not held accountable. And hence, we were saying to the portfolio committee that they need to request the feedback from management to say, yes, even though investigations are initiated, they need to be concluded so that if there's anyone to be held accountable and any recoveries to take place, that should take place. So from our side, we are reporting that investigations are taking place because they are initiating them, but the issue is around concluding those investigations. There was another issue around the internal controls. as my colleague has mentioned, the portfolio industry are very close to getting a clean audit. There's just a few errors that they need to be able to address to get the clean audit opinion. For example, in the slides that we have on status of internal controls, we've highlighted record keeping. If I talk about record keeping, for example, the National Department of Health, this is impacting their annual performance report. There's one indicator, the lab indicators, we've been reporting it over the years that it's been qualified, and it's around the record keeping of those information. So from our side, we're saying if the department can sort out that record keeping for the indicators relating to the labs, they can actually get an unqualified on the financial statements. And this is also linked to the root cause then that we highlighted that says that there is no consequence management, because what we're saying is we've been reporting that the material misstatement is in these indicators over the years. However, year in, year out, we still find the same misstatements. And then management needs to hold accountable the responsible officials. With the financial statements as well, with the National Department of Health, they had a material misstatement in the current year with relating to commitments. And what we see is with this relates to the implementing agents that they are utilizing for the construction. So what we're recommending management is that they need to strengthen the controls around the information that comes from the implementing agent that is fed into their financial statements. With their own activities internally, they seem to get it right, but they just need to strengthen the internal controls coming from the implementing agent. And if they do that, our message really is the department can get a clean audit. There was a point around supply chain management, and I know there was a lot of discussion around supply chain management, but what we picked up at the root causes, specifically at the CMS and the NGOH, my colleague here highlighted it, what we're finding that the triggers of the irregular expenditure we see is instances when the end users are procuring and not involving the supply chain management unit. So what would happen is a specific unit will then enter into a procurement process and then appoint a service provider. And what's happening is the supply chain unit usually picks it up too late in the process. And unfortunately, there's been a non-compliance. So what we did recommend to them in our discussions is that they need to send a very strong message that the end users cannot procure without involving the supply chain management unit, because the supply chain management unit would know the laws and the regulations from Treasury that they need to comply with, whereas the end users might not know all the requirements. So that's what we're seeing as a root cause for both the CMS and the NGOH regarding the irregular expenditure coming through the non-compliance. I think I've addressed the rest of the questions that I wanted to ask. I'll hand it back to the chair.
Honourable members, I do think that there's been justice done by these responses to our queries, but I wanted just to indicate to you that your concerns that were raised, for me, it feels like maybe I need to write to the minister. Just pointing out that, Minister, are you aware that you are just almost about to jump over this bridge, but there are certain few things that are holding you on it? We are noting that the AG is commending you for your effective leadership and your availability to engage, but it doesn't look like it gets translated down. I don't know, I'm just my thought, whether it has to do with the change of leadership at the management level. We just have a new DG, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. He might have come in at the middle of this process by AG. But just to actually make him understand that our concerns are that the department is stagnant at the particular corner and there's no movement. I take this as a blessing that we have just been focusing on health nationally and leave out the provinces. I was hoping that maybe SAPRA, the other one, not CMS, will come in. No, SAPRA and COD will come in together with the provinces, so we could also have a very detailed discussion in that regard. But maybe just to indicate to the minister, there are certain things that are of concern to us, which you need to actually get them done, sorted out. And Minister, it may just be very difficult to whip provinces and advise them if they still find you having similar challenges and concerns. So I thought maybe that to us, to him on our behalf, might help him to quickly deal with these issues. And I don't know, maybe going forward, it may be the committee that may make that decision, that maybe it was a good thing we separated, because right now we are talking about NDOH and not about any province for now. And we deal with that and let it get out of our way. And maybe in the next few weeks, whenever they are completed, we had to attend to provinces and then be able to deal with that. With those, let me just check if there's any other member who would wish to indicate that his or her question or clarity-seeking comment was not attended to adequately. You can then shout. If there's no mention of your name yet, then I'll assume that we are almost coming towards the close of our meeting. One, two, three, we are gone. So thanks, AG, for your presentation. And you have really given a responsibility to us that on our own, separately, we need to be engaging with the department, which we honorably commit to do, but also take it forward ourselves with the minister. Thanks, honorable members. Honorable Kwakhube, you joined us late. We wish you well in whatever things that you are doing there, supporting whoever you are supporting to do well in these by-elections. We are all able to now go back and support wherever we are expected to do. Come back, honorable members. There's going to be sitting this afternoon. Thank you very much. Go well. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chair. Good day, members. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. Goodbye, honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, President.